Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon us. Lord God, our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you, thanking you and praising you for calling us to yourself. Thanking you and praising you, Lord, for revealing yourself, not just through your creation, but through your word. Lord, we ask now that we open up your scriptures that we might see Jesus clearly. I ask, Lord, that you might be with me, your humble servant. Take all my frailties and weaknesses, Lord, and turn them into your strengths. Help my words be your words, Lord, that are used for the building up of your people and the bringing of glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About 20 or so years ago, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and my phone rings. For some reason, I get a bed and answer it. On the other end of the line is a good friend of mine, and he's very distraught. As we talk a couple minutes, it becomes apparent to me that he wants to talk about faith. You see, the burning issue was he came to see himself as a despicable person, as a dog, as it were. And now at 3 o'clock in the morning, he wants to know if he's too bad for God to save. Have you ever encountered someone like this? Someone who thinks that they're too far from God for God to reach out to them and grab hold of them? What would you do if you did encounter someone like this? What would you tell them? Would you try to convince them that they're not so bad, that they're okay? Or would you tell them that, yes, they're a dog? And would you let them know that God gives his grace to the dogs? See, that's what we see in our text this morning, that God gives his grace to the dogs. This means that even the mangiest of mutts is not beyond the reach of the gospel. So share the gospel with all. We see this in three ways: the request, the response, and the result. First, the request. Look how Mark begins. He says, "And from there." What he's saying when he says, "And from there," he's indicating that Jesus left where he was to go to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And that from there, which Jesus left from, was Gennesaret. See, this was the land originally given to the tribe of Naphtali. It's on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is in the northern part of Israel. So Jesus left Gennesaret, and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is about 30 to 40 miles north of Gennesaret, and it's what is today known as modern-day Lebanon. So what is Mark telling us by saying this? What he wants us to see is that Jesus left Jewish territory and went into Gentile territory. So why? Why did Jesus go to this Gentile region and this Gentile home? Well, the next verse seems to give us a clue when we read this. He, Jesus, did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. See, the picture that Mark paints for us is that Jesus left Jewish territory and went some distance away so that he could rest. He wanted to rest from what he had been doing. Think about what he'd been doing prior to this. He just finished feeding 5,000 people. He was healing people. And he just got done fighting with the Pharisees about why his disciples don't wash before they eat. You see why he might need a break? That's what he just got done doing. So he gets away from Gennesaret and he goes into this Gentile territory. He needs a rest. Think of it like this. You've got a long day at work. Your boss is all over you. You leave work, and there's a traffic jam, some accident. Takes you an extra hour and a half to get home. You walk through the door, and what's the first thing you hear? Guess what Johnny did in school today? So you deal with that. Your wife's exhausted, and the baby gets sick. So you got to deal with that. So it's now 8, 9 o'clock. It's all done. The kids are in bed. What do you want to do? You want to rest, right? You want to get away. Where do you go? You find some quiet place in the house, maybe even in the backyard. You shut off your cell phone. You avoid your Facebook. And you lay low, as it were. See, this is what Mark is telling us Jesus was doing. He was trying to get away and rest. But, you know, we also see that Jesus had even bigger plans than resting. See, he's a bit more intentional about where he went and why he went. See, he's going to get some rest, but what happens? Look at verses 25 and 26. Look what we read. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. See, just as Jesus reaches the vacation spot, what happens? Immediately, this woman burst in and she's begging him, heal my daughter. And notice what we read. It says, this woman heard of Jesus. So how did she hear of Jesus? And what did she hear that caused her to come bursting into this home and to beg him for help? See, the text doesn't tell us, but it's probably pretty clear that it's the miraculous healings that he had been doing. And more particularly, what we read back in Mark 5. See, remember back in Mark 5, you got this demon-possessed man. And he's possessed by this demon called Legion, because he was many. He was 2,000. And Jesus permits these demons to go into pigs. They leave the man, he casts them out of this man, and they send them into pigs. And what do the pigs do? They run down this embankment and they all drown. And you know who owned these pigs? The pig farmers of the region. They weren't happy about this. They were upset, and they begged Jesus to leave their land. Mark 5:14 says this, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. See, what had happened was told in the city and in the country, and this is no doubt what the woman had heard, that Jesus can drive out demons. So she goes to him to drive out this demon in her daughter. Now, a couple of things for us to notice here. I want you to note that first, it says she's a woman. See, this is significant because in these times, women were viewed negatively. They were second-class citizens. They were seen as people not to talk to nor associate with. Men would not go near them. But we're told even more. She's not just a woman. She's a Gentile woman. And so not as to confuse her with being a Jewish woman living in Gentile territory, Mark tells us she's a Syrophoenician by birth. She's a Gentile through and through. You can't get more Gentile than her. That's what Mark is making clear. See, and this is significant because Gentiles were worse than women. They made Jews unclean. If you went near them or touched them, you were unclean. They were to be avoided like the plague. And third, think of this. What is she asking for? She's asking that Jesus heal her demon-possessed daughter. Not her son, but her daughter. A future Gentile woman, as it were. Do you see the picture Mark's painting for us here? Do you see what he's saying? As you hear this, are you thinking what I think? Is this woman insane? Is she out of her mind? What would possess her to think that Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, is going to help her, a Gentile woman? She's got three strikes against her, as it were. If there were ever a person not worthy of a Jewish rabbi's time, it's this woman in our story. Yet, what does she do? She goes to Jesus and asks for help. Even though, if there was ever a person sure not to get help, it's this Gentile woman asking for help for her Gentile daughter. Think of it like this. You go on vacation. You just settle in, just sitting down to rest, and what happens? This homeless guy comes up to you. And not just any homeless guy. He's dirty and smelly. He's got open sores on his face and his lips. He's got lice in his hair and his beard. And he comes up to you, and he's right in your face. He wants your help. But he doesn't want money. He doesn't want food. What he wants is a ride back to Delaware. Are you going to give him a ride? Is this guy going to get in your car? Are you going to spend the next 3 to 4 to 5 hours with this smelly, lice-filled guy in your car? Are you even going to give him the time of day? See, this is the picture that we have in our story. This Gentile woman who's repulsive to the Jews. Yet, how does Jesus respond? What does he do faced with this situation? Verse 27, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Did you hear that? Did you hear what Jesus said? Listen to this. Let the children be fed first, because it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? What is he saying? In this account, the Jews are the children, and the Gentiles are the dogs. Throughout the Old Testament, we read how Israel is referred to as God's children. There's various places you can see it, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, even what we read this morning, Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So the children were the Jews. The dogs were the Gentiles. Because this is how the Jews saw the Gentiles, as dogs, but as unclean dogs, as filthy scavengers roaming through the trash for food. Knowing that this is how they saw Gentiles, how are we going to take Jesus' response to this Gentile woman? Is he putting her down and insulting her? Is he calling her a dog? Or is there something else going on? Is Jesus saying, look, woman, my message and my power is not for the Gentiles. Get away from me, you filthy animal. Is that what he's saying? Well, he's not. See, Jesus is not putting this woman down. What he's doing is testing her faith. He's not being harsh and short, but he's offering hope. When we look at the details, we see Jesus' grace. It's evident when we see the details of his response. And it shows that his response is really a tempered one. Notice how he says, let the children be fed first. See, this word first is key here. See, by saying first, Jesus is implying that something will follow. There's going to be a second. So he's not saying the dogs will not eat, but only that they'll eat after the Jews first eat. So Jesus is not giving this woman a no. He's giving her a not yet. And we shouldn't miss the point that Jesus responds at all. Remember, this is a Gentile woman asking for help for her Gentile daughter. She's someone who would have been seen as unworthy of a rabbi's time and attention. Yet, what does Jesus do? He takes the time to engage her, to hear her, and actually speak with her. This had to be a huge, huge encouragement to this woman, who was no doubt at the end of her rope seeking help for her demon-possessed daughter. And finally, what about this word dog? See, the Jews saw dogs as Gentiles. Gentiles were filthy animals. And many believe today that that's what Jesus was saying, that he saw this woman as a filthy animal. See, dogs were not seen as cute little household pets. They weren't things you brought into your home and laid at your feet. Some actually think Jesus is saying, get away from me, you filthy animal. But I'm persuaded this text shows us that this is not at all what Jesus is saying or implying. And it's seen clearly in the woman's response, because she isn't offended, but rather she continues to ask for his grace. What's the outcome? What's the outcome to her request? Verse 28. The woman answered, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. This Gentile woman, she's not speaking as one who's been offended, but as one who's been offered hope. She understands that the dogs are allowed inside the house, and in fact, they're laying under the table at the feet. They're waiting to be fed. See, this shows real insight into what Jesus was saying to her. And it should give us insight into what is meant when we read those words, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. See, this Gentile woman was being tested by Jesus, and she's answered correctly. She did so in a way that showed she understood what Jesus had come to do. She understood that Jesus came to bring grace to the Gentiles. Do you see this? Do you see what she saw? Think about it like this. Jesus has come into this Gentile region and this Gentile home. He's approached by this Gentile woman asking for help for her Gentile daughter. He doesn't ignore her. He doesn't push her aside. He speaks to her. And in speaking to her, he gives her hope of receiving the children's bread after the children or the Jews are first fed. Jesus is making clear that the gospel isn't just for the Jews. It's for the Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus is saying just what Paul tells us in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. See, throughout his ministry, Paul always did what? He went to the synagogues first, took the gospel to the Jews first. After they refused to accept it, then he went to the Gentiles, because this fit God's plan. See, God's strategic plan has a progressive fulfillment. Think of the wedding at Cana. Remember, Jesus' mother comes to him. She's talking about the wine. And what does he say? My hour has not yet come. In the same way, his time had not yet come to bring the message to the Gentiles. See, because the gospel was for the Jew first, and then the Gentile. But note, this doesn't make one more prominent than the other. When it comes to the gospel, there's no distinction. Even the mangiest of mutts isn't beyond the gospel. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The gospel is for all. You should share the gospel with everyone. This becomes even clearer in verse 29. Look what it says here. Look what Jesus says to this woman. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. See, Jesus doesn't condemn her for her statement, but he congratulates her for it. What does he say? For this statement. See, this no doubt is referring to her statement that even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. Jesus is commending her for her insight, acknowledging her faith through her answer, acknowledging her insightful understanding. See, this Gentile woman understood that Jesus was saying not that the Jews would get to eat and the Gentiles would not, but that the Gentiles would get to eat after the Jews were first fed. She had the eyes to see that Jesus was saying he came not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles too. He came for the Jew and the Gentile alike. Again, this is seen in that word first. When you hear first, tells you something's going to follow. In this case, God determined from eternity to save Jews and Gentiles alike. But he had a process. And the process, the plan involved not overlooking the Jew or the Gentile, but including both. Neither was outside the reach of the gospel. And we should note something else here too. This is a miracle account. See, Jesus heals this demon-possessed daughter of this woman. But like all miracles, they always point to something more. It's never about the miracle itself. See, what it's about is the word that comes in the context of the deed. The word that comes in the context of the deed. We have this Gentile woman's daughter being healed in connection with Jesus' words of the dogs eating after the children. We see Jesus teaching this woman and us today that God's grace is given to the dogs, to the lost of the world. This includes both Gentile and Jew. God doesn't exclude anyone from his grace based on ethnicity, nor identity, nor size, nor color, nor how evil they've been, but rather, he gives his grace to all, and so should you. your Jewish neighbor, your Muslim friend, your atheist co-worker, like each one of us, needs the gospel of grace. And like you and I, none of them is beyond the reach of the gospel. So share the gospel with everyone. So what should we learn from this morning? What should you leave here with this morning? It's this. Jesus came not just to the lost of Israel, but to the lost of the world. See, he came for the lost of the world. Jesus speaking with and answering this Gentile woman's request, it's meant to show us that there's no one, no one at all who's beyond salvation. And this should do two things for us. First, it should be hugely encouraging to us. It should encourage us that there's nobody that you know that's beneath God's grace. There's nobody you know that's too bad, who's lived a life of so much sin, that they're beneath God's grace. See, anyone who's lived a horrible life can still be forgiven. Just like this Gentile woman received God's mercy, so can all who turn and humble themselves before Christ. See, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Christ, and you want to know if you're too bad for Christ, well, you're not. Turn and confess your sins. Humble yourself. Throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. And be encouraged that just like this Syrophoenician woman received God's grace, so can you. Even if you're the worst of dogs, God's grace is for you. See, Jesus didn't come to save the healthy. He came to save the sick. And I know this. I know this firsthand because I too was once a mangy mutt. But Christ called me to himself. Do you realize that before I was called into God's kingdom, I was looking at a prison cell? I was facing 3 to 5 years in state prison. And what did Christ do? He didn't pass me by because I was a dog that needed to be caged, but rather, he showed me that God's grace is for the dogs. And secondly, for those of us who are sitting here who are redeemed dogs, this should basically move us on. It should change our hearts to take the gospel to the world. As there's no one who's below the gospel, there isn't anyone who's not worth your time. There isn't anyone who cannot be saved by God's grace. Christ came to this woman who had 3 strikes against her. A woman who was not worthy of a rabbi's time or attention. Yet he gave her not only his time, but his grace. This is what Christ does. He makes the first move. And everyone who's been transformed by the power of Christ has been given his spirit and has been empowered to likewise go forth and make the first move. Whoever's in your life, a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor, each and every one of them can be reached with the gospel. If you know anyone that needs Christ, don't think they're too far gone. Don't think you're too far above them. But do like Christ. Reach out to them and be encouraged that your family member, your friend, your neighbor, they need not be good enough for God's grace because none of us is good enough. That's what makes it grace. That's what makes it miraculous. And this is why God's grace is given to the dogs, because if not, then it wouldn't be given to any of us. Brothers and sisters, as you leave here this morning, remember that you too were once repulsive in God's sight. You too once roamed the streets barking at God, biting at his hand. And yet, what did he do? Despite who you were, despite what you did, he sent someone into your life to give you his grace. And you know what? There are more sheep belonging to Christ out in the world today. They need to be brought in. And often, These sheep are disguised as dogs. So give them the gospel and give God's grace to the dogs. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come before you. We thank you and praise you for your wonderful and matchless grace, Lord. We thank you for how we were truly dogs, repulsive in your sight, but yet you reached down to us, called us to yourself, sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die that we might live. And for this, we are eternally grateful. Lord, we ask that you might be with each one of us who has been redeemed by your power, by your mercy, and by your grace. Help us to be spurned on to take your word, to take your gospel into the world around us. Lord, use us as the ordinary means to bring the dogs into your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.